shorelines. I won't leave my fate alone.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast, Jay Bird. I'm broadcasting live from my DS Citroen studios here in the parking lot of Dusseldorf Building 17.
Now, that's the Netherlands today, or where are you at?
I am in Holland, Netherlands.
Sorry
we missed last week, and folks, it was crazy. I'll explain here in a minute, but just got off the water, fish Ymir. Biggest pike in the boat was 47.
Ooh, okay.
On Mustang. Yeah.
Was that the picture you sent with the in the mouth there yesterday? Cool.
One of them. Yeah, we got 16. But got a 47 and some 90 centimeters.
90.
We've got some 90s, bunch of 70s, but 115 is a serious fish, 46, 47, I don't know, somewhere in there. There's big ass pike, Jay, as they say.
The metric system surely makes them sound huge, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But no, absolutely crazy. The big thing is this, gonna do the podcast, and I get told you have to go to the awards ceremony. So I'm at this thing, and it's called FTX, right? The European Fishing Tackle Trade Show. It is the ICAST of Europe. So if you ever see videos of ICAST in Florida, this is for the continent of Europe. Same deal. And you see some brands that come to ICAST, and you see some brands that come here. But, you know, you have all your different, you know, there's a heck, you know, how many people are driving Citroens or what I'm looking in the parking lot. There's not a car I recognize. You know what I'm saying? It's just a different world. Yeah. So we're there, and last year at the Angling International Show, which is a big show, but, you know, took number one. I said, there's no way. Freaking number one best in show for the new menace, Jay.
The new menace coming out.
So
yep.
It was unbelievable. You know, as a lure designer, I about fell over dead because you're going, you got to be kidding me. You know, sort of. Up against some of the definitely from up against the best from across the pond, if you will.
So, well, sure. It was I know.
Shocking. I thought last year was like, there's, you know, okay, cool. You know, they got one on the Kraken because there wasn't a lot of stuff. You know, I'm not diminishing that. Was there a lot of stuff in my own head? You know, you're always kind of maybe not always, not everybody. There's a modicum of self-doubt there or whatever. Like, okay, cool. I got that. I'll never do that again. So I just back-to-backed them too, Pete. So there's that.
Super cool. Yeah, and that menace, for those that don't know, and most don't, is the new Livingston lures that you design. That's coming out in December, I think.
Yeah, December.
I know if you get on the Livingston lures, like Instagram page or Facebook, I know they've got some pictures of it, so you can check that out. You know,
we'll have the specs,
preliminary stuff.
Just because of the show, with coming over here on the Livingston Lures website, we put up the actual product listings. They're not available for sale, but it has the specs. There's no video.
Oh, okay.
And then obviously Muskie Shop will have them. We just shot the footage. So you have two different baits coming. Actually, I'll tell you everything that's coming here. So some people saw my ICAST and at the Muskie Shop Bash, which were Critter and Menace, right? Which is just crazy. These baits are completely different pretty much than anything you've ever seen. And so we've got that 9.5-inch Mustang coming, right? So that is going to be on the way. And then two more rubber baits, which are going to be upsizes. Just from the initial demand and from, like, you know, some of the big box stores and all that stuff, some upsized stuff on the Critter and Menace as well. So it's crazy. My mind has exploded, Jay. So it's just
super cool. Yeah, I didn't even know that about the upsized new Mustang.
Yeah, I've been on.
And
the
I think
road.
I texted you. We got the third refill. The third refill in less than a month. Of Mustangs on Friday, so
I didn't know that.
We should have all colors back in stock. They've been number one.
A lot of baits. Thank you, folks. I mean, dude, and I'm not. I the what freaked me out was I knew from experience and fishing over here, like dialing in on the pike bite, right? All of the pike paddle tail baits, like whether it be Westin, whether it be Stravonsky, whether it be Pigshed, all these Euro brands that, you know, Shoep, all these, there's a bunch of brands over here that most musky guys have never seen, right? Of swim baits. And, you know, they all have a very subtle tail. And I've talked about that with the musky stuff, but it was funny with the pike stuff because these baits all have a subtle tail. And I'm going, well, the pike over our way likes the aggressive tail. And it was funny, you know, just kind of that moment of hesitation. We got here in the water, and like I said, put 16 in the boat, which is, this is not like pike fishing up north. This is a whole different ball game, right? This is big water, low density, trophy class pike. And it was crazy. I was like, oh, crap. We just greased them. And so there's a tournament. I was going to do it this year. And then this trade show ended up falling during the same time, which is called YPC Boat, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the World Predator Cup or YouTube, whatever the heck. I don't know. But it's like all the top French anglers. So we have a guy named Fred Julien and Mikhail from Bulgaria. So Mikhail and Fred are on our European pro staff, and they're both friends of mine. They are fishing it, and talked to them this morning when I was out on the water, and they're filming for that and just smacking them on Mustang. So it's working, as they say. It's working.
Awesome.
Yeah, the aggressive paddle tail. It's funny, and just with the environment here of how you're coping with especially on your Gormier, however you want to say it. My Dutch is real bad, Jay, by the way.
Mine too. It's rusty. Yeah,
my Dinsdag. It's about the only word I say annoyingly to Tim, which is Tuesday, right? So my goal is to do karaoke over here and do Dinsdag's Gone with the Wind by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Go for it.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking it might be a
clean house, baby.
Dinsdag's Gone with the Wind. But anyway, so
ripping.
Long story short. Yeah, the Mustang's tearing them, freaking Critter and Menace. That is just a hoot. So,
well, they're anyway, sure working over here too.
Yeah, I know, it's silly. So I can't wait to rotate. I don't know if you realize, when was I cast? July. I've been gone.
Yeah, since, it was July. Yeah,
early July. So I've been on the road since early July. Hence all the reporting from the car here and everything. But well, what's the bite like over there? What are you hearing?
She's up and down, really up and down.
Yeah.
We had, you know, what was it, a week and a half ago? We're coming off that super cold stretch where it got the water temps down a lot, and now it's just been gradually warming. It's above normal temps.
Mm-hmm.
So started hearing of the first, there's a couple days midweek where suckers were really effective. You know, a couple guides that all got, you know, at least one to three kind of day on suckers, and they were casting too, and they had clients. So that's good to hear, but we've got, you know, a few more days of southeast wind and really warm, like 80 degrees. Once we get through that, we'll see what happens here and turn into a true fall bite. But right now it's just all over the board.
Yeah. Yeah, that's seems typical. I've been watching it back home when I can, and that, you know, the typical fall up and down. You're not, you know, we're not at the turnover yet, you know, just that transitional period, which we were kind of right, you know, it happened not early, but it kind of happened timely this year, which was interesting, you know. So it is what it is on that front, but that was kind of a shocker. Anything else cool? Anything else new? Comings and goings? Excitement there?
New stuff. Well, we got some of that drop tying in. We got some more Lee lures. Got those Death Paws Minnow. Mm-hmm. We got some custom stuff in from various manufacturers over the week, and a lot of other stuff. Oh, yeah. Just super new stuff. There's some more drop tying coming.
Uh-huh.
There's another jerkbait coming. Smitty's got a new jerkbait coming. I think he's finishing them up this weekend, letting them dry and putting the hooks on and bringing them over tomorrow, possibly. Ooh. So that's an adjustable weight system, large 10-inch Smitty jerkbait. So,
very cool.
Already filmed it, so she looks good. So we'll put that on the website as soon as we get it in.
Well, I pulled it up here on the phone. It looks, we got some new mittens.
We hey, ready for fall.
Get your mittens, everybody.
Plenty of glove wear.
Glovery. Come and see Jay at the Wisconsin's premier fish handling glovery.
They're fish monkeys too.
He's a glovier. It's like you're like a sommelier for anyway. I'll tell
the
you.
The glovier at the shop is actually Tom.
He is
a glove expert.
Is he?
He is.
I'll tell you what, buddy. I'd about kill my own mother for a cheeseburger right now.
Just can't find them over there, can you?
Horrible.
Don't they have McDonald's and Burger Kings and stuff there?
Well, I don't want like McDonald's, but yes, they have.
They put mayonnaise on them, though, don't they?
Well, they serve the fries with mayo, but also too, even it's not the same. It's all like crud. Yep. After a while, you just go, give me just some American crap, you know. I looked earlier on Uber Eats, right? So we got back to the place here. It's just hard, you know. Everything's different, and it's hard to. It's not like you run down to the Walmart Supercenter, right? So you're just kind of flying by the seat of your pants. And it's just like I get on Uber Eats, and I was just like, I would kill for some Mexican food, which I was hungry, so my brain did not tell me, oh, there will be nothing, right? But I did find this place that was quote-unquote, it was like called O's Tacos or whatever. And I was like, okay, let's check it out. They just bastardized tacos, Jay. It kind of made me mad. Like, we need to just drop a bomb on them for that. It was horrible.
So all the options for fast food over there are just oddly
different. Not even fast food on Uber Eats that deliver anything.
I mean, if you just want to grab a sandwich.
You're not just going to grab a sandwich. You got to go to the cafe. I mean, it's not like you pull down the road and there's the Charlie Cheese. It's a pain in the butt, but yeah. Somehow the Dutch have ruined tacos because it looked like, here's what I think happened, is someone's cousin sent them a picture of a Crunchwrap Supreme, Jay, and told them it was a taco. So they're making like Crunchwraps with like fried battered fish in it. It's horrific. It's not good. It is not, nothing is good. If you can't tell I'm hungry from getting off the water. No, it was a funny moment. I've ordered a shrimp cocktail and it had guacamole in the center instead of cocktail sauce. If you can imagine. Oh. What, nothing sounds more delicious than chilled shrimp and guacamole. Okay. But just, think about this. There's somebody that listens to the show. They've got to put together a nice function here. Maybe you're having friends over. Maybe it's your daughter's wedding. Take my recommendation. Jumbo shrimp and guacamole. It will absolutely set the tone for a horrible evening. Anyway, seeing as though I've met with every tackle distributor in Europe here, we better get to it because I got another meeting this evening. Let's get to some Q&A, Jay. Let's do it. Guys, I'll be almost back to normal next week. I'll actually be in the great state of Wisconsin next week, believe it or not. So, okay. Let me get it. Sorry, the email is not the fastest here. Randy just got a new to me net. It's a Frable Paracatch, and the bag is pretty deep. Being a bank anchor, I was curious if you guys know about a more shallow replacement bag or a shallower replacement bag. Jay, so he's got the Frable Power Catch, right? That's a 40-inch.
Big game, probably.
Yeah, that's the 48-inch bag, right? Is there a shallower bag?
Not from Frable. They stopped making replacement bags. So
well, what Ranger we have left,
you can go with the Ranger. You can go with the Clam. You know, another one would be a Stowmaster. It's just get a heavy Stowmaster. go with the heavy webbing, not the light one.
Right, and then you take
and that's a little shallower. Yeah.
Yeah, you can, I mean, it's a net.
There's options.
Yeah, there's. It's very hard for them to put some proprietary bag on these things. So pretty much any net bag will go on there. When I have done bank yanking, it's been a minute, but you know, it's rare that I'm doing it myself, but you don't need that depth. I mean, don't be afraid if you just take that bottom of your net, roll it up and zip tie it, you know, which will shallow it up by a couple feet without having to change the net bag. Then you cut the zip tie when you're done, you know. Doesn't have to
sure,
be.
Sure, you can also go that route, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. You don't have to get a secondary bag. It, you know, I've done it where it looks ugly, and I've done, like, pinned it up with the zip tie. I've actually done it as well where I just kind of nicely did it in a couple places. And, again, fold it back a little bit. You eliminate some of the depth. You know, it's a little bit harder on handling, but you're always robbing Peter to pay Paul when it comes to bank fishing, so... All righty, let's look. Greg, I fish for muskies in Long Point Bay on Lake Erie, which is mostly a sandy bottom. There are more and more rocks as we move east along the North Shore, but virtually no structure out in the middle. This is a very large section of lake, so we troll 9,900 times. I'm looking. Hold on. Okay, we got a lot of stuff going on here. Okay, so essentially... paraphrasing this question, he's got a multi-stager here, but guys fishing on Erie, it's a very large area, right, where deepest parts of the bay are 35 feet, crazy deep water out to 120. His question, is there a depth that's too deep to be fishing for muskies, or will muskies be anywhere that their bait is? So, there is a line of oxygenation, right, that muskies will adhere to. There's also temperature lines, right? Where, depending on what your water temperature is in the main basin. Now, there's been a lot of discussion over the years about barotrauma. Essentially, you know, you see these fish, Jay, you pull a fish, like you pull a whatever fish off of a reef in the ocean and its swim bladder comes out its mouth like a snapper or whatnot, right? And just kills the fish. What people have said in the past, that you catch a muskie out of more than 25 feet of water and it could be harmed, right? That's kind of, it's not been proven. It's, again, it's with all things muskie, everybody's got a story. Oh, my cousin Eddie killed one or whatever. There's currently a study happening in Minnesota about barotrauma. It might be done by now, but they're working on the data there. Now, from my standpoint, what I'm going to get at is with muskies in depth is that an effective range of the tools that we have. And as far as tackle, we really don't have too much that's effective past 25 or 30. Right? And that's from a standpoint of just most people are not going to target muskies deeper than that because it's way out of their wheelhouse. Right? It's not something they're even remotely comfortable with, nor are they qualified to be fishing that kind of depth in any competent manner. So, realistically, with traditional musky tackle and traditional musky tactics, you are 25 feet or less, right? So, that's kind of the answer from my standpoint there. You know, are there muskies out at 60, 70 feet? Yes, there are. You know, are they going deeper than that? I don't know, but I've seen them. Especially with live imaging now, you look down there and go, whoa, what are you doing all the way down there? I tend not to mess with those fish. Just from that adage and just from the standpoint, you know, that deep fish are non-feeding fish, right? They're just holding, they're just chilling out. So that would be my take on it. But I don't. Again, I don't spend any time out in that open water of that nature, but if that makes any sense. He also continues, are muskies anything? Will muskies eat anything and everything? And big, there's a lot, you got a lot of questions here. We try to keep them at one, but he does ask about, will muskies eat anything and everything? Yes and no. It depends on where you're at. There's opportunistic feeding, there's predatory feeding. I'm of the school of thought that they're generally dialed in on what is the most exploitable at any given time. So they have an expectation of what they're looking for, right? So if they're on Cisco's, guess what they're looking for, Jay? Right? If they're eating suckers, guess what? Right? So they're staging in an opportunistic manner for something that, that they expect is exploitable, right? This sucker run or, you know, yada, 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 trout are doing this, or Cisco's are doing that, or shad are spawning, right? And fish are going to follow the path of least resistance, and that really seems to be the case across the board. So, yes, there are times when they're eating crappie. There's times when they're eating Cisco's. There's times when they're eating crayfish. It just depends on what is the what is the most exploitable food source. Nolan, after a pretty fun and successful August of musky trolling, The beginning of September seemed to really slow down so far. The temp and water temp has changed for the cooler, down probably 10 to 15 degrees for both. Is this type of slowdown common for a couple weeks? I keep seeing from the podcast that when temps go down, the fall musky fishing and trolling gets extremely hot, extremely fun. Okay, blah, 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 blah. He's continuing on here. Basically, here's what we got. Nolan's got a thing where he was on a really good bite. Water temps dropped. He's not on a good bite, right? That fall transition. Now, if water temps are dropping and the bites are falling off, right? Things I'm going to look at. Am I running at the right running depth? Okay. Am I going too fast? Am I going too slow? Also, parlays into what we just discussed. What are the muskies eating? Right? When we have change, not a daily change, but we have meaningful change, seasonal change, guess what happens? Muskies change what they're targeting as a food source. Okay? So that's one thing to consider. Another thing that you need to look at as well is what body of water you're on. Minnesota, notoriously, fish will slide up into inches. So at times, you'll be on this trolling bite and you go, wow, I was on it, and now I'm off of it. And it's not because they're not willing to eat. They're just simply not there, right? So while most of the time in general, you know, most of the year, muskies are in trolling range, right, Jay? They're in a trollable, I'm going to step out here, they're in a trollable space. It's a rarity that they're outside of a cast, or they're outside of a trollable space. This period is one of them where it happens, where they've slid up so shallow, right? So that's something I would give a look in, and especially if you find yourself where you're going, hey, I'm on a trolling bite. That can be a dangerous statement. You know, it's not a bad thing to say, but it can be a dangerous statement from in the capacity of, are we still checking all of our options to stay ahead of a pattern, right? It's like today over here even. You know, yesterday it was very dialed in. It was like, okay, this is where they're at. This is what is happening. And we were able to do very, very well, right? Guess what we still did today? Checked it all. We actually found some quality fish that were doing something different. Now, those fish were not active. I don't know if they were there yesterday on the deeper structure, but today those fish were nettable. Right. So if you feel like a bite, or you say you dialed in really well in August, A, let's make sure we're not doing the same things after a change. So we want to change things up. So we're going to address what's happened. Has the bait fish staged deeper? Have they fished shallower? We need to figure that out. What bait fish are up? What's where? Right. You need to kind of reassess and readdress. That makes sense, Jay? What are you thinking?
Yeah, a lot of times. Well, everyone's looking for that shallow bite in Wisconsin right now, probably right. Minnesota too, probably Upper Michigan, this whole region. You know, hey, it's mid-September now. It's pre-turnover kind of thing is going to be kicking right in, but it's just like conditions warrant different factors. We were talking about that during the week when a lot of people came in that were doing musky trips this week, and, you know, they were. It seems like everybody was on their way out. They hadn't fished yet, you know.
Right.
It's like, hey, what's been going on? It's just like, you know, it's kind of a lousy answer sometimes to give people, but it's just like kind of everything,
right?
Bait type, because fish are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got you get deep fish, you get a minority of the fish that are in shallow at times, and they're not always active. So it's just like, you got to be there at the right times, and not everyone has that opportunity. So, yeah, it's just, there's a lot of things going on right now. So a lot of people are catching deep fish.
Right. Well, and
the water, yeah, it's just not late enough in September. And the weeds are only starting to break up again. You know, we've seen that kind of up and down too with, I think the warming water kind of pushed the bait fish out, because what I've been seeing the last few days going out was a lack of minnows up shallow.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of those things. And I mean, if everybody's always looking for the bite, and especially with this dude, to his question, if he was dialed in on it and you lose it, we all lose it. Right. No matter how dialed in you are, be checking everything. Right. And I mean, it's that mid shallow and deep check, and that will help.
Yeah, don't expect. Yeah. Check everything. Don't expect. Yes,
right.
You're right.
You know, there's nothing worse than being dialed in and then quickly dialed out. Right. And that is, and what I'm trying to convey is there's a curse associated with being dialed in. Is you want to spend every minute you can on what you know is working. So you neglect anything that's exploratory. And I've done it where it's like, okay, I'm putting out 6 headlocks because I know for the last 7 days I've smacked 2 a day. You know what I'm saying? And I just commit, I overcommit. And that's the curse. It's like the bad adage, double-edged sword or whatever. You're successful doing it, but are you in tune with what's happening with other bites? Do you know what's happening in the shallows? Do you know what's happening on mid-lake structure, right? Is there something there that you can pivot to immediately? And I think that's the most important thing of like in the realistic scheme of things of like again, part of my being over here is help these guys pattern this crap. And, you know, you're looking at it from just the standpoint of you can't just have a set or one bite, right, for a tournament set up, right? Mm-hmm. You can't be on one bite. And most people are not worried about tournaments, and most people are not worried about angling from a professional standpoint. But in the grand scheme of things, we're all trying to be successful. And so for that's recreationally doing it or avidly doing it, which is like, if your goal is to put fish in the boat consistently, you need to be dialed in on one thing while understanding what's happening elsewhere. Right.
It's a balance of efficiency, and you've got to not feel like you're being inefficient by quote unquote wasting time probing, you know, different areas and different structure and weeds and whatnot.
Yep. And I mean, it just boils down to the second you get dialed in, find out what's next and keep an eye on it. You know, and it's almost like you're cultivating the next bite. Because I want to have, especially in the scenario I've been in the last couple of days over here, I was trying to get Fred and Mikhail dialed in, and they're having some issues, and I was able to kind of pull a rabbit out of my hat where I went, here's the 3 bites, right? Da da da. Here's 3 scenarios. Don't know what tomorrow's gonna be, but I promise you, well, one of the 3, it's gonna work, right? And that's the thing, is the curse of being dialed in, which is, yeah, stop paying attention to everything else. And then once you're dialed out, you're at ground zero. So anyway, just for the spirit of, I got to send this to you since you're still playing producer, Jay, we're going to have to bounce here just from the email standpoint of me being able to get this to him. Next week, we will be, I think, back to normal, if not close to back to normal. Okay. from the home studios here. Finally, I'd like to see my house. So anyway, well, Jay Bird.
Yeah, send it on over. I did all a right. little track with David Gilmore the other day.
Right. Wonderful. Sounds good. All right, folks. Talk to you later.
Cheers.
All
right. Bye-bye.
We don't need no fishing education. We don't need no control. snowy